Friends and family of the Little Celebrant here, what a blessing to have you with us today. A missionary was on the main compound in Africa. And as they continued to establish congregations out into the bush, occasionally these others would travel. And some prospects that were joining the church came in with the evangelists from out in the field to the main compound. Not the main compound, they had a generator that could run a little bit of electricity for a while so they could keep their meeting going. And it was amazing. The eyes were this big when the pastor walked over and flipped the light switch and the lights burst forth. They had never seen this before. So after they were preparing to go home, one of the prospect from the bush asked the pastor if he could have one. He wasn't quite sure what he meant. He meant the light bulb. And so he went in the back, got an extra one, and thought that it would be a trinket that he would display somewhere. Maybe he'd wear it. Maybe he'd put it on his wall. A couple months later, he went out into that journey to check in on everyone, and he came to that man's hut. He walked into the hut, and there in the middle, proudly on display, hung from the ceiling by a string, was the light bulb. And while he was so proud of it, he leaned over to the missionary and said, "I don't think you gave me one that works." Well, there was quite an explanation that had to go along. Try to explain electricity to someone that doesn't know it. You know, the naivety is kind of beautiful, but in a way it's what we too experience when we don't stay close to the Word and to Jesus, who is the Word in flesh. I think it's important for us to have these kind of teachings. As Jesus was about to go to the cross, on the night before His death, He was still teaching the disciples, "I am the vine. You're the branches. Stay connected." And you know, the nutrients go right up that vine, through the root, all the way up to every branch, to every leaf, and ultimately into the fruit. Isn't that gorgeous? I know that it's still winter in Wisconsin, but you Texans probably can figure out that's root. Yeah. It's probably blossoming down there. Now, they live in some vine country, wine. When I was in Lubbock, they had wineries out there. And I learned from a wine grower that it takes a lot of energy and effort to grow it all the way from the ground, usually by a cut of a root, until that vine is prosperous and producing beautiful grapes. And it doesn't happen by accident. We're going to take an example of that analogy as Jesus has given, and apply it to our lives, because we need to know we are planted, we are pruned, and we are productive. The bulletin has an outline, so you can walk along with me. He says, "I am the true vine, and the Father is the gardener." The gardener created us for life. He designed us for this before we were even born. Now, when you look at all the things that happened during the last couple of days, probably a week up here, where we went from snow to sunshine, I came around the corner and looked in at Joel and Amy's house, and there were daffodils blossoming while there was snow on the ground. The Lord has designed those flowers to come out just that way, to produce their radiant glory, their praise to God, at just the right time and in just the right way. So have you ever thought about it? If someone is to remain something, they have to first be it. If you're going to be a black belt and remain a black belt, you first have to become one. If you're going to be a teacher, you first have to be taught, authorized, given the responsibility, and then you remain such. So it was a little guy right here that was planted just a few moments ago by his dad. I don't know if he'll ever be called Bobby J, but could be if he's a ball player. And how beautiful it is to listen to his little voice lifted up. That's not the last time he's going to complain about how long the service is going, Dad. But he has been planted with the gospel. God says it is so, and so a miracle has just occurred through the name of the triune God. and in it the forgiveness of Jesus from that cross and the new life from that empty tomb. What a power has been on display, most of us, from that little birth on, baptism. And yet, what a gift He plants as He puts the gospel into our very being. We can't say even just heart, but deep within our soul. The gospel, the good news that we are saved, that we are designed for God to give glory, that is all right there in the connection with Jesus, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you have distinctive connections. If you have a family member who owns a theater, you get to watch a lot of movies free, don't you? If you have someone that works for Myers or Target or Home Depot, you may be able to buy things a little bit cheaper. If you have a pilot for a son, you might be able to fly places once in a while. It's always the perks, the benefits we look at, and there is nothing that compares with the benefits of being in Christ, connected to the vine. I want you to hear this, because that planting is sometimes assumed, but it isn't. It's a gift of God's grace. It couldn't have happened if Jesus had not been here on that cross, on our cross. And then the tomb rages forth with a new life. It's not just Easter, but it's every day that God's grace is renewed for us. Through Jesus, we have access into the best life. He has given us, through our baptism, through the Word and sacraments, a connection of nutrients that will fill us and produce great fruits. We have lasting peace. We have the promise of eternal life. We have even our purpose and our goal. Now, when you think about going into the tomb, this one isn't very deep and it's not very dark. But if I said you were going into a grave today, you would be afraid. It's a foreboding and dark and disastrous place. And none of us wants to face the grave, and we don't want our loved ones to go there. But I will tell you that this is the gift of the vine, is that that place is no longer something we have to be afraid of. God has given us a new life, and God has planted in that grave the very heart of the gospel, not a body, but because there's no body there, because it's empty, God has given us the promise of a blessing. You see, this is what happens often when somebody has that great loss. They feel very pruned. They feel like a plant that has had a big branch cut off. Some of you know what this feels like. Now, I don't think all the plants always feel things, but I did pruning when I was 4 years old in a rather different way. When you're 4 years old, you think that you can climb any tree, and even if it's a fruit tree, and even if you've been told you shouldn't climb. 4 years old, up in the tree, 6 feet high, and not 6 feet high anymore. A branch broke and took me right to the ground. When I hit the ground and came to my senses, I was like, oh, Dad's gonna kill me. So, did I take the branch and throw it on the pile? No. I went to the garage and got duct tape. Needless to say, after a few days, it was probably a week or 10 days later, my dad came in. He knew exactly how that thing had been pruned. And he said to me, you know, I'm going to give you an A in ingenuity and an F in tree management. You need to learn about fruit trees, boy, and you're going to learn. I'm going to teach you. And then he tore it off and he threw it into the fire. And you know, when you're a little guy looking up, you're going to see this, Joel, in the eyes of your son. You look at your dad and you go, he's so powerful. My dad was one of those dads that would pour gas on the pile, and then he'd throw the match. Woo! Wow, Dad. But in a while, it was all burned up and gone. And while I was very impressed with that, I realized that branch didn't last very long in the fire. What Jesus says, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. There are two kinds of cutting. One is the cutting off of what is dead, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Do you catch this? These are harsh words. For the branch that is broken and thrown away. And it might be that in our lives we worry about someone. We try to duct tape them in, and really only the only way it can happen is through word and sacrament. And if they have come and they are walking outside, we need to know that God the gardener will hear our prayers. Remember what I said in the hospital when I said, he's God's child before he's yours? God loves him more than you do. You see, the gardener is the one that cares for the plant. The gardener is the one that gets the nutrients to it. And the gardener is the one that will give it life and another chance. You see, many of us should have been cut off and thrown away, but God saw that the gospel would take root. And He has planted us through baptism, through His proclamation. And you know, there, out of the darkness of the empty tomb, comes a new life. It is there that God has broken our fear. The worst that could happen would be that we die, and yet we are not going to die and stay dead. It's in that empty tomb, in the resurrection of Jesus, that pruning will produce a whole new outcome. Yeah, the pruning. The gardener cuts things off. Here was my first real lesson. About 12 years old, I thought that my dad had forgotten what I did when I was 4. So he didn't. He said, you're going to take care of the property for me. Well, he made some deals with me. I got certain benefits by mowing and caring for the grass. And then it came the day that I began to care for the trees. And he took me out with one of those clippers and he showed me how to cut off the branches that needed to be cut off. But what I learned first was his word, cut the suckers off. What are those? Why do you call them that, Dad? Well, because they come out of the base of the tree and they take nutrition that needs to go up into the fruit. My dad was so strong, he could just rip them off, and I couldn't. He got me a little machete thing and we would cut them off, and he taught me which ones to cut. You see, the plant will grow when it's pruned. If you don't prune it, and I have an example of that where I park at my workout place, they have vines all across the garage. By the end of the summer, it just is swallowed by vines. Unruly, it sprawls all over the place. All the nutrition goes into the branches and the leaves. I've looked several times, there's no fruit. But when a gardener who knows what he's doing, the man who makes the wine, the vintner is actually the man that takes it all the way from root to the production of a beautiful, wonderful drink. And just think about that. It's not a communion Sunday. But on communion Sundays, we receive the fruit of the vine connected with Jesus. When he says, I am the vine, there is such rich meaning because from him comes our new life. From him comes a whole new beginning and fruitfulness. You know, it can hurt. Maybe you've been waiting for a job and they passed you over. Maybe you had to wait till a week after your due date to have a baby. Maybe you just don't know for sure if you're going to find that true love and get married. Or maybe you're facing the end of life and it's an illness and you don't know how God is going to deal with it. He does prune us, and sometimes it does seem to hurt. A second lesson I learned about pruning was when I took my children down to Disney World in Florida. We came around the corner and there was Mickey Mouse. They had trimmed a hedge to look like Mickey Mouse. We came around another corner, it was Daffy Duck. Can you imagine somebody was able to shape that bush so that it looked just perfect? Yeah, that's what God is doing with our lives. He cuts us back so that we will be even more fruitful. And he knows exactly how to do that. He knows what he's doing. In fact, I'm going to offer you a concept. Take comfort that when you're being pruned, you are never closer to the gardener. He's right there in your life, all over, looking and watching and doing what is best for you. You see, if you look to God for trimming, if you ask him to prune back the temptations that take you away from his word, from the nutrition, He will allow you to have blessing upon blessing. Now, as a pastor, this is where I have the most concern. If you think that 20 minutes on a Sunday is enough nutrition spiritually, I don't. You can say, well, pastor, you're in the Word all the time. I'm barely in it enough, and yes, I'm in the Word all the time. I will tell you that I can see as a pastor, I'm never going to point a person out, but somebody who does regular Bible study starts to show the fruit. I've seen some people go even from kind of neutral to blossoming. I see in the lives of people and their production of love, joy, peace, patience, when they are connected. And it's amazing to me that once you've experienced that you wouldn't want to keep it going. I have some problems with the app YouVerse. I use it a lot to read and listen to. I especially like to listen to Max McLean. But when I get to the gym, sometimes the Wi-Fi doesn't work, the data doesn't download, and I can't get to it. I can't even get the next verse. So I've loaded the entire New Testament in Word docs the whole Bible onto my smartphone. So that in the case when I can't get to it that way, I won't be cut off. I'll be able to get to the Word, and I can't hear it, but I can read it. Think about how you can be connected. And you'll become much more productive. What does that mean? Well, a tree that is blossoming has not yet produced the fruit. Eventually, the fruit begins very small. And as you can see on the screen, it eventually becomes large. It starts with the planting, and then the pruning, and then the bearing fruit in His tender care. He says it very distinctly. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. A farmer had a couple of trees that he loved. They were large fruit plants. And he planted one over near his house and one down quite a ways away by the stream. The one by the house actually was like a hedge between his property and the neighbor. The neighboring property was a landfill. If you don't know what that means, that's a fancy word for garbage dump. Now, it grew there and became very prosperous, and about 10 or 12 years in, it began to produce beautiful fruit. He let them fall. The next year, he said, I'm going to pick those fruit, and they're going to be just right. He went out that summer, picked off a fruit, cut it open, sat down in his rocking chair on the patio, and he was about to bite into it when he realized it doesn't smell so good. Oh, well, it looks good. He took a bite, and he spit it out immediately. It was, after all, grown by the garbage dump. Garbage in, you've heard? Garbage out. Well, he decided he'd take the walk about a quarter mile down to the other tree. Exact same kind of tree, exact fruit, cut it up, brought it back. He's rocking in his rocking chair when he took the first bite, and it was the sweetest thing he had tasted ever, the best thing he had ever grown. And I think of two Williams. On Thursday, just before I preached this sermon, one William that I have admired and respected for most of my life was indicted as a sexual predator. His name is Bill Cosby. And you know, garbage in, garbage out. A couple weeks back in Carolina, a man was cut off. He was 99 years old. But he has produced great fruit all his life. Most people admire him as one of the evangelical influences of America. Another William, Billy Graham. And I will tell you that that is evident in people's lives. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, the fruit will be gorgeous, generous. If God's DNA is in us, and it is, if God's DNA is love, and it's in us, then it will produce in everything we do, whether it's here at church or in our personal lives. He puts on the fullest display of who He is through us. And the way it happens is by our regular nutrition. Yes, by the pruning. And yes, by just living in the world. As the vine grows, so also He will fill us with His kind of fruit as He plants us, prunes us, and makes us productive. One last observation. Did you catch in the text that He does not command the plant to produce. He doesn't demand, I want fruit. You know what he says? Remain in me. He says, abide with me. That's how the fruit comes. It isn't because he commands that. It is just who we are. And if you understand that, then it shouldn't be that hard to leave our worship today with a smile and figure out where that fruit is going to take its own root in another person's life as you carry the good news about Jesus and the empty tomb and the life that is there. As you carry that out of here into the world, may God produce for us the fruit that comes from His DNA. Amen.